culture in classroom?
I think one of the keys to getting anyone to engage in your activity or what you're interested in getting them to do is to provide people with respect. Make them feel safe, make them feel confident, make them believe that who and what they are and what they believe in is of value. And I think that is absolutely key in any classroom. So whether you're dealing with children from the Musqueam Reserve or children who have just recently immigrated from China or from Korea or Hong Kong, that if they feel safe and know that who and what they are is valued, they're more likely to give of themselves. If they don't think what they have is valuable, they're certainly not going to give it. So I don't think I had any major answers for my Musqueam children. I think it was really important while I was at Southlands to let them know that no matter what happened, I was standing behind them. And maybe they saw that I, too, as a person of color, was able to identify with the notion of exclusion, with the notion of feeling that you are other, was important to them. And I remember one year in my classroom, I said to my students, we were talking about being Canadian. So I asked this wonderful, handsome young grade six boy to stand up. He was a member of the Musqueam Nation. And I asked this lovely girl, who was an excellent student, whose parents had come here from Britain, to stand up. And I said to the students in my class, now, who is a Canadian here? And of course, all of them said right away that it was this young girl, because she was white, and their notion of what was Canadian was somebody who was white. And I said, well, you know, you're right, Catherine here is a Canadian, but Bill's people have been here for at least 8,000 years, and I would say that Catherine's parents have probably been here fewer than 20. Why is it that Catherine you see as being the Canadian, as your image of a Canadian, and not Bill's? And so these were the kinds of questions I guess I asked my children to consider and to think about why you would even go by the color of somebody's skin. But if you were, why is Bill seen as other? Why is that not who a Canadian is, who has been here the longest? So I didn't have to reach very far in terms of seeking textbooks or what's outside the classroom to find ways to let the children question some of their notions of who and what we are as Canadians. I mean, I have to say it really did take me aback. Because I tried almost the same thing about 3 weeks later when our staff, the school secretary, came into the classroom. She has a very strong New Zealand accent. And so again, it was Bill asked to stand up. And there was our lovely Mrs. Wilkinson with her New Zealand accent. And again, they picked Mrs. Wilkinson.
Really?
Yes. So, you know, it's because, you know, every time children look at an ad in newspapers or the model of how you learn, the Vancouver School Board texts on come to school, who our learners are, who are the people who are always pictured, you know? Canadians are always pictured, although nowadays in advertising, just because advertisers, our corporations want to sell to the Chinese culture, and in the United States they want to sell to the black culture as well. They are being a bit more inclusive, but our children don't see that. They were actually reflecting, you know, what our culture is teaching them about themselves. So not only did I, and there were studies actually done by UBC at Southland School when I was there, as to whom the children themselves valued, and in terms of racial groups, and the stereotypes that they carried. So I did try to get the children to look at some of these results. You know, it was automatically deemed that by the children that the Chinese students would be smart. They'd already determined this, and the non-Musqueam children selected these, and so did the Musqueam. Mm-hmm. So it was interesting. So, you know, you can't really reach people and begin to have them offer up what they have gone to, what they have inside themselves, if they don't feel good about who they are. So that's a major thing you have to work at in a classroom, is to make sure your children, or in any group, whether you're out with adults, that everybody in that group feels safe and valued as a contributor. Mm-hmm. So that, it's not an easy process, even for myself. I've lived in this house here in Carisdale for 32 years now, and there are still times I don't feel that I'm quite part of the community, in spite of many positive experiences I have here on a regular basis. So in a classroom, one teacher doesn't work wonders in 1 year. You can only work away as well as you can at providing children with opportunities at which they will succeed. And I don't mean saying just offering the native students something to carve or a race to run in, but ways in which they can succeed across the curriculum. You know? So that is, it's something that happens in every classroom, not just when you're trying to encourage the development of children who have been so marginalized as the Musqueam. You know, when Wendy Grant went to that school, not that many years before I was teaching her son there, the native students lined up at a separate door at the back of the school. Didn't even go in the same door at the school. So, you know, those parents were never able to pass on to their children a sense of worth about school. They were terrified of the experience. They dropped out of school. They weren't confident themselves to come up and address the student, address the teachers, and be advocates for their own children because they themselves didn't. So it's a very, very slow process, and no one person is going to do it. You can do your very, very best, but you don't heal a community by teaching one child in that family for 1 year. And occasionally I kept my classes at Southlands for two consecutive years. You know, I had them for grade four and then for grade five, or once for grade five and then on into grade six. You know, you have, it's sort of selfish of a teacher in a way, because
you want to mold them.
You want to mold them, and you feel that what you've got to offer is going to enhance their learning situations beyond the year that you have them.
I forgot to ask you when you were born. This is on a routine I go through.
Oh, I was born in 1944 in Winnipeg, actually St. Boniface, Manitoba. Oh. And I'm one of five children, and right in the middle.
Always loved
to play.
Isn't
that
so, about, I'm sort of dickering about with myself about where to put, you know, what your this interview will be, where to put it. I mean, I've got a section on demographics and, you know, the immigrants and the Musqueam and all that. And so I also want to talk about the environmentalists or environmental activists. And I'm thinking of, you know, putting you in that.
Well, you certainly might do that, in as much as my children did, as I say, they went to the provincial hearings on the preservation of the endowment land. They also brought in speakers, or I helped at some point, and parents contributed in other ways, toward the issue of looking at how our meat is produced. We did a lot of field trips outside of the school, and I don't know whether we'd totally fit into that slot, because you know what I did there, I certainly was not able to affect any change school wide.
No, but still,
it was It was mainly in the awareness that for the children within the classrooms that I taught. But I guess if I reflected on what was really important to me about the students was their notion of engaging the larger community, mm-hmm. and whether that be in terms of the Musqueam culture, mm-hmm. whether that was in terms of putting up the statue of my brother, mm-hmm. and following that whole process from the clay model right mm-hmm. through to the
that was wonderful.
And then up right through to the unveiling, or whether it meant going to the endowment lands or going out to UBC or going mm-hmm. to Victoria. I think that is something that I don't know how that figures into your scheme
schemata,
but it's something that I guess I would like to, and my children involving themselves in these mm-hmm. provincial elections,
yeah.
and civic elections, was that I guess, you know, the notion of the school is an extension of the community, mm-hmm. and children learning to take their place in society and make mm-hmm. a contribution
right.
to their community. I think that is something that I'd like to think that I had made a difference, mm-hmm. perhaps, in that regard. And that whole notion of embracing the larger community, to me, encompasses embracing other cultures,
mm-hmm.
other faiths, other skin colors. It means embracing the political arena.
Mm-hmm.
You know. So I don't know. It's I'm not sure for you, because you've mm-hmm. probably already got a scheme or schemata in place, and it's a matter of slotting it in, and I don't know exactly, mm. but I did feel that was something. Even in our athletics, you know, the children competed in athletic events, certainly beyond the school, mm. and so I saw Southlands as, besides being nestled in this wonderful forest, mm-hmm. as being a school that really was engaged in the larger community. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's wonderful. Yeah, I think that's important. Because I am writing up Southland Schools, part of my contribution to the schools chapter, and Point Grey.
Mm-hmm.
But, now the Musqueam are going to Point Grey, and I understand there's a special program for them.
There was mm-hmm. Actually a friend of mine taught in that program for a short while. Her name was Sheila Pither, mm-hmm. and I know a lot of the students that I had at Southlands eventually went up to her. Mm-hmm. But I don't know how much evolution has happened in that program over mm-hmm. the years. I am continually, I won't say disgusted, but disappointed, I guess, that the Musqueam children are so rarely graduated.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I know that Wade Grant graduated,
mm-hmm.
And I'm sure his brother Gordon probably graduated, but I think it's a reflection of who we are as educators,
mm-hmm.
that we have failed to make school work for Musqueam students. Somehow we've got this particular square peg hole, and we keep trying to fit everybody through the same slot. And I'm not saying that we should diminish the expectations. I think we need to diversify the expectations,
mm-hmm.
because we've had a very much one model of what doing school looks
mm-hmm.
like.
Yeah, that's right.
And I think it's right now becoming even narrower with the introduction of computers into the school
yeah.
system.
Oh,
I am appalled
terrible.
At a school like my school, Laurier, where I just mm-hmm. left, that all of these little immigrant children who cannot speak a word of English
yeah.
are stuck in front of the primary grades.
Yeah.
Grades, kindergarten, 1, 2, and 3, and instead of talking and using language
yeah.
all day, they're sitting in front of computer screens, which they do when they get home
yeah.
anyway, unfortunately,
yeah.
yes, to play games, that their schooling now, and schooling everywhere, is going to become this unidimensional process called the computer.
Yeah.
And I just find this appalling.
With you completely.
And I think the chance for Musqueam children to slip even further out of
mm-hmm.
what doing school looks
mm-hmm.
like will become greater. I don't know what the percentage of families on the Musqueam Reserve is that have computers,
yeah,
but I do not think it would match the same
mm-hmm.
as in
the
non-native
mm-hmm.
community
mm-hmm.
in which they are surrounded from mm-hmm. which they're surrounded by. So I just think that how we are engaging First Nations people in this province, I can't speak for other provinces, into education, and of course the Nisga'a people have, you know, taken a major leap. They've mm-hmm. designed their own education system. Mm-hmm. But I do think that there's got to be more done here, because we keep trying to hammer the same square pegs into round mm-hmm. holes, or round pegs into square holes. Education mm-hmm. is a diverse experience. It's got thousands of facets, millions mm-hmm. of facets right. to learning. And mm-hmm. I don't know. I'm hoping that there is sort of a development going on in terms of, you know, what is happening to educate mm-hmm. the students mm-hmm. who leave Southland School and do go to Point Grey High School, mm-hmm. because there are many wonderfully gifted students oh, that yes. are totally missed on our educational mm-hmm. system.
Oh, I'm sure
know.
There are.
Yeah.
I began when we first moved here. It was 1965, and one of the first things I did at the end of that decade was to take weaving classes from one of the mm-hmm. elders down there. And I found out subsequently that another of the authors of our book also did that from another mm-hmm. standpoint. So that was one way we were trying to get it.
Bridge,
yeah.
Yeah,
yeah. So now the gulf is even greater than it was then. Mm-hmm. I mean, I felt I could talk to people. They would walk up to the stores, and you knew who they were and everything, and you could chat with them. But now you don't see them there so often.
Oh, I see some of my ex-students in IGA down
do
at 40% Dunbar occasionally,
yeah, yeah.
But certainly not a lot mm-hmm. of them. But, I know what you're talking about, because, mm-hmm. you know, in 19, when was I at Southlands? I taught at Colchena School up mm-hmm. here on the hill,
mm-hmm.
and I remember we brought weavers into the classroom mm-hmm. then, and we softened this cedar bark,
yeah,
and
yeah.
we pounded it,
okay.
and then we had people mm-hmm. come in and show us how to do the weaving, and mm-hmm. my friend Barb Annandale, who has taught at Shaughnessy School for a number of years, has done a weaving program down at the reserve with her grade 4 classes,
oh,
and
great.
At the Museum of Anthropology.
Yeah,
so at times I'm buoyed by the fact that you know, programs like the one that mm-hmm. Barb Annandale did do at Shaughnessy School is ongoing and mm-hmm. engages the elders from
that's
Musqueam
right. mm-hmm.
and uses the facilities mm-hmm. and the artifacts at the Museum of Anthropology,
mm-hmm.
that there are programs that are happening.
Mm-hmm.
I guess at Southlands, I know it has come and gone. There's
mm-hmm.
been involvement, and then there's been less involvement.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know. It seems really odd to me that you know, I teach at a school like Laurier, and we're a mile and a half or 2 miles away from the Musqueam Reserve, and what are we studying in grade 4?
Mm-hmm.
The Inuit and the Haida.
Oh, for pity's sake.
You know,
that
like,
is weird.
That's so weird.
There's
so, you know, instead of getting the grade 4s on the bus and taking
yes.
them down to, or a public bus, I mean, and
mm-hmm.
walking them the rest of the way down to Musqueam,
mm-hmm.
you know, we're busy studying the Haida. I mean,
I
you know, I think that it should be the community, which already, and
mm-hmm.
you know, was there. I was fortunate when I was at Laurier that I had a couple of students from Bella Coola,
mm.
And then most recently from the Nuchalmuth Nation on Vancouver Island.
Mm.
So these students were able to get members of their community to come and bring programs into the school rather than. Could you excuse me,
sure.
Mama?
Mm-hmm.
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
Well, so, you know, our education system is not designed for students to engage the indigenous population that's right, you know, at their elbow, be it the Stolo Nation in Chilliwack
mm-hmm.
or the people of Musqueam, or the people in Duncan, or
yeah.
the Squamish people in North Vancouver, the Capilano people. No,
okay.
we've got these textbooks to tell us, you know,
mm-hmm.
to study a culture that's, I don't know, there's something a little bit insane about that.
I know. I think also that the Musqueam has pulled back as a reserve. Used to send people, I mean, there was Gertie Guerin, I guess, who got quite involved. Mm-hmm. board and so on, and
think the politics of the...
I think it's affecting them, yeah.
The politics of these leased lands and the taxes
that's
going
the problem,
up has probably
yeah.
been a factor in in that. And
that's certainly part of it.
Yeah. Although, you know, when I look at one of the sparrows, or there's Debbie or Gail who's involved
Debbie.
Herself in politics outside of the Musqueam into the larger... community, but I don't feel in many ways most Musqueam people are not engaged in the politics of the larger community at all. Very, very, very few of them vote in provincial and federal elections, you know. But yes, I know what you mean. You feel at times there's sort of a drawing back, and then I guess it depends upon who's chief. I felt Wendy did a lot to certainly to involve Southland School in the life of the reserve, and we even had a kindergarten grade one class open on the reserve to save the really younger kids having to come up to the school.
Right. Yeah,
I don't know that that program actually continued, but I do know that at times, you know, things seem to have been moving. But, you know, I guess in a way, if you're always feeling like you're not as good, it's really hard to embrace the outside world.
Right.
It's very, very hard. One of the trends that I also see is very sad is as more and more British Columbians, or in particular people living in Greater Vancouver, our citizenry of Greater Vancouver is made up more and more and more of immigrants from Asia who have little or no knowledge of the native cultures here in Canada and in British Columbia. I find it a little bit alarming that we aren't doing more to educate immigrant communities as to who our First Nations people are, because these are the people who, the immigrants, I mean, who are becoming citizens and who are voting on issues like this silly referendum, you know, that Gordon Campbell ran by, you know, the population this past year. That was just appalling. And, you know, people are not educated or informed or appreciative of, you know, that actually does really concern me. And one of the things of this last year that I was at Laurier School, as I say, the population of the school is 90% Asian recent immigrants. And so when I had this young student from Duncan, from the New Chalneth Nation. She had her uncle and men from the community come and show some of the dances and the culture. And I didn't do it cold. I mean, I did do a fair amount of, I sent information around to all the classes about the New Chalneth people, about the nation, about their traditions and how long, you know, it has been since there was, you know, European contact there. And trying to sort of prepare all the students in the intermediate grades throughout the school with information before they saw this presentation, because there was a follow-up discussion with the performers, and they brought a lot of artifacts and things. But, you know, these young students at Laurier bring with them, when they come to Canada, all of the prejudices that, and I don't mean prejudices in a negative sense, I mean all of the impressions without knowledge, the prejudging without knowledge, that they have gleaned through American film, Canadian, the fact, all of the prejudging that's already out there. And so it's a very, 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 very difficult process. Canadians who've lived in this country for 50 or 100 years barely understand the native cultures here. And there's such a gulf, as you've mentioned. And yet we have this new wave of citizens coming in, and there's an even greater gulf. So it leaves me not as hopeful, you know, unless our education system really gets to become a bit more realistic in terms of educating.
Exactly. I'm trying to get a little bit of a glimpse of something for this book about what the Musqueam culture is like, you know. And I started with a very excellent interview with a band manager, Andrew Charles. And then I went to Rose Point, who's law she's very shy and doesn't talk
You should talk to Wendy Grant.
I should talk to
her. She's so articulate.
Yeah, she's the one I should
And she really works to make the bridge. Her name is John now. Her last name is John.
Oh, that's right. Wendy.
She's, actually, I know her ex-husband Howard's phone number off the top of my head.
Really?
Wade lives there. Wade, when he's not away at school, because it's the same as my phone number.
Oh, cool.
Only instead of being 266, it's 263.
Oh, for goodness sake.
9431.
That's her phone number now.
No, that's the number of her ex-husband Howard Grant.
Oh, that's right.
Howard can give you her phone number because her name is now Wendy John.
Right.
And she is, I had some friends here from Sweden. I go to Sweden a lot, and I have a lot of friends who are involved in the environmental movement there and in the art community there and international aid community there.
Lovely.
So I go to Sweden quite often. But one of my friends used to be the editor of a very well-known magazine there. And so she wanted to inform the Swedish reading public about real life on a reserve in Canada. So Wendy was wonderful. Wendy welcomed my friend Marta into her home and spent 3 or 4 hours talking into the tape recorder.
Isn't that wonderful?
And Wendy is very open and she knows Musqueam, and of course she goes back generations
there. Of course,
and has been the chief. And she's not, you know, I heard her speak. There was a big international, big national multiculturalism conference at the Hotel Vancouver a few years ago. Educators from right across Canada came. And Wendy Grant gave the opening address, the keynote speech, first thing in the morning. And I was so choked up because she stood there and she said, you know, coming in here to speak to 800 teachers kept me awake all night. She said, I have spoken with prime ministers, I have spoken with presidents, I have spoken all around this planet, and never have I had so much anxiety about going before a group. And she said, it's because for me, teachers and the public education system were such a nightmare experience. You know, she's the one who told me that she lined up at the back of Southland School, and that her parents, and she said, in going into a school, you know, you immediately felt inadequate. So here I have so many of you before me so that I can feel so inadequate, and yet meeting politicians of all, you know, types and from many different countries was nearly as threatening. And, you know, she's so open about that, and she can tell you what is missing, what the... I felt wonderful because she paid tribute to me as being somebody who had helped her sons have some sense of self-worth. Mm-hmm. But I know that she's very straightforward about what needs to be done to bridge the gulf and what is going on at Musqueam. You really, she's very good to talk to.
Oh, that would be great.
You would be silly to talk and not have Wendy as part of that interview. Because not only did she represent, she had her own children go through.
That's right. Yes.
The, go through the education system and have one of the few that has graduated.
That's
You know, it's wonderful. And I really, really admire her. You know, she has only grade eight education. You would think that she has a PhD.
Oh, isn't that wonderful?
Yes,
such a perception,
Very, very, very amazing woman. And very involved in the larger world. I mean, she went to Ottawa when I had Wade in my class. Wendy and her family actually moved to Ottawa. And they came back. Wade ended up having heart surgery, if you can imagine, as a grade five student. But she did come back to Musqueam. But, you know, she really did make the effort to engage the larger political realm of this country.
That's amazing. Just amazing. Okay, I'll call her this week.
Really, she would be my first choice.
That's really good to know.
And I do know that there's a very different male point of view down there from the women. There are probably young men that you should talk to as well.
Yeah, there's one young man who went on to school, and the brother of one of the girls that works at the band office went to.
Kyle Grant was a very articulate young man. Mm-hmm. He must be in his 20s by now. But I
it would be nice to get a young person's view of what life is like, I mean, what is it?
Because he's not anxious to embrace the larger non-Musqueam culture.
Okay.
He feels
okay.
that there's, you know, it's a very different point of view, and I've talked to him at length. And then, you know, you have the Charles family, Nolan and whoever, and the Colbreath family, and they're very engaged in the community. I know the Colbreath and one of the Charlene Charles actually sends her children to the Catholic school.
The Immaculate Conception.
Oh, yeah. Is that what it is? Yes, yeah. Mm-hmm. OLPH, I think. Immaculate Conception, is it still around? Anyway.
Yeah, definitely.
Yes, yeah. Anyway, she sends her children not to Salmons, but I thought it was the one that might be Immaculate Conception. But anyway, you know, so there are different degrees. They're not a monolith there, you know.
Yeah.
There are many, many different factions.
They all have different opinions on the whole thing.
Well, I think the male, many of the men down there who, I can't really say, I shouldn't even make the generalization. Many men are very happy to exclude the land, the world beyond the Musqueam, and many are very engaged, you know. It's not a monolith. There's as much diversity in that culture as there is in any rest of, you know, Vancouver.